Hey, this is Daryl Strawberry, and you listen to The Daniel Baldwin Show.
This is Anthony Munoz, and you're listening to The Daniel Baldwin Show on ESPN.
Hi, this is Bruce Smith, and you're listening to The Daniel Baldwin Show.
Hi, this is Cornelius Bennett, and you're listening to The Daniel Baldwin Show here on ESPN.
Jim Kelly, you're listening to The Daniel Baldwin Show on ESPN Radio.
This is Chris Berman, a.k.a. The Swami. I am predicting that you are listening to The Daniel Baldwin Show on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Dean Cain. You're listening to The Daniel Baldwin Show on ESPN Radio, and so am I.
This is The Daniel Baldwin Show. A woman on the
radio. Hey now! And welcome to the big show. Sitting to my right, Paulie the Mole Sobelia. And, of course, legendary K-Rock Josh.
Thank you!
Of course.
Thank you.
Well, we have much to discuss, including why my headset continues to disappear from the studio. The headset purchased for me by the mole himself. What a nice gesture of you on your part.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate you. I do.
I don't get why Nikki Kneecaps is taking it out of our studio.
Well, here's a great thing. I want you to think about this. There's the opening of that Living in the City. Have you ever listened to the opening of Stevie Wonder's Living in the City? When he goes, the guy says to him, hey, man, come over here for a second. Come on. Hey, take this and walk this across the street over to that guy. But he goes, what? Oh, okay. I'll give you 20 minutes. Okay. A jury of your peers. He goes, I didn't know. And he busts him.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder is suddenly a mule taking drugs across the street in New York. So we're going into the Duke game, right? It's classic. Like the ultimate no-no to do. I thought for a second I had a flashback. So you got to go through a metal detector. And I'm thinking to myself, do I have anything? Key, cell phone. The guy goes, key, cell phone. He puts the little bin in front of you and you hand it to him. Now I'm kind of self-frisking to see, do I have anything weird? And Kneecaps is right next to me. We're multiple lines going in. And he hands me what looks like a small zipper hard plastic container. And he goes, hey, man, can you hold this for me? As I'm four people away to walk through. So I look at him, I go, what is it? And he goes, it's my headset. And I looked at him and I thought, well, why can't you walk through with it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't. And I said to him, I go, well, why don't you? He goes, I don't want the guy to hassle me, man. He won't hassle you. And so I'm holding it. And like another person goes, I'm thinking, what's really in this thing? Am I about to get busted?
What are you carrying for Nikki Kneecaps?
Am I about to get busted? Yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about. God, listen to it.
What is Nikki Kneecaps smuggling in?
You know what? So I don't unzip it. I go on the honor system.
Wow.
But I do put it in the bin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, that bad boy's not going to be in my pocket.
Yeah.
So I put it in the bin. The guy says to me, he goes, what's in this? And I go, oh, it's a headset. And he goes, oh, okay, he doesn't unzip it and look. That's that. So I know that this guy walks around with a portable, like, fancy headset. So
or
why
he
is,
doesn't.
Or he doesn't. All of the above. So why does my headset disappear from the studio every day? This guy's got, and it's a really cool, like,
Bluetooth
compact little pouch. Is it because it's Bluetooth and he can't use it with what he's doing here? Do we need to get him in here and talk about?
No, what? I don't want to talk to him.
You know what?
No.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about it then.
Yeah, but your headphones were removed from the studio and then placed in the Paulie's office.
Now, can I'm going to write this word. I'm going to write this word next to Paulie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the reference to what that word means. Now, that's not a problem, my saying that, right? Because I'm quoting somebody.
Well, it depends on how you say it.
You can't say it as...
As the anatomical?
Yeah, it cannot be the anatomical thing.
You can't say, look
even
at mine.
If it's quoted all over the news, that this is a quote from the coach. Okay.
Show me the sentence, and I'll tell you if it's approved or not. Yeah, can't say that.
Why?
Can't say that. Because it's referring to the part.
What if I called it with a P?
You can say, yeah, you can,
okay.
You can
okay. Say that. So let me tell you this great story. All right. So this woman coach in Germany, I love this woman now. She is my favorite coach in all of sports this week for sure. So she coaches this female team. She's a former star German player herself. And she starts coaching this female team. And evidently the female team and like multiple divisions of the men's soccer teams are all owned by this one conglomerate.
Sure.
So they said, you know, she's taken this team and turned them around. Let's move her up and make her the first female to coach a male soccer team, professional team.
Nice.
So they move her up. Now the press is having a field day with her. So one of the guys, and they're asking her really dumb, sexist questions.
Sure.
And they ask her, well, let me ask you this then. When you go into the locker room, is there an alarm that goes off to warn the players that you're coming in so that they don't have their private parts exposed to you when you walk in? Her answer is, I pick my team on their blank length.
Nice. Nice.
So she tells that to the press in a press conference.
As a joke, or is she in trouble now?
No, she was mad.
Yeah.
She was mad. Yeah. So she turned, but I mean, they learned now not to mess with this lady because she goes, yeah, no, I know what they all look like. That's how I picked them to play on my team.
Wow. I like her. Do you love this woman? I like it.
Do you love her?
I don't like her toxic masculinity.
Oh, come on. What's wrong? Why are you against her?
She's trolling you. He's not really against her.
He loves her.
He's just trying
to. He's just mad.
No, but could you imagine if a guy said that? Like he was a women's coach, and I pick him by the size of her chest.
Like if the SU like women's coach, okay, like, so
do you think that someone would ask the coach that question? Who coaches UConn's women's basketball?
No, but
no, they wouldn't. So look, they took advantage of the position.
Woman coming.
Woman coming.
There's a great moment in on any given Sunday.
Yeah.
And to throw her off, Oliver Stone puts the guys in the locker room, and he puts this guy, she has to hit her mark, and she puts this guy full on frontal nudity, and he is well endowed. And he's in the scene, and she walks in and does the scene. And he admitted later he did it just to throw her off.
Right.
To see what she would do when she walked up to this guy. And it's in the movie, frontal.
Yeah.
She walks up like, hi there. Hello.
There should be an alarm. Everybody always said when they played against Scottie Pippen that if he would walk around with it out, it was terrifying. That's what they always said. You'd go in the locker room and Scottie Pippen would have it hanging out. And other players would say, I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Man horse.
That's a man horse, yeah.
It's a man horse.
Yeah.
It's a man called Horse.
I like your approach. I like your style.
So this is how we're starting the show today, huh?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, I report what comes in the news.
I like it.
I don't know what you want me to tell you. Zion Williamson, it started out speaking to Scottie Pippen. I love the segues today. Just brilliant. Seamless.
Thank you.
So Pippen came out and said if he was Zion Williamson, he would sit out the rest of the season to protect himself.
He's going to be the number one pick. I mean, I think he's done enough for basketball, college basketball, that it's more about him personally now. And I think for him as a young player that I would shut it down. I feel that he could risk a major injury that could really hurt his career.
Okay, so of course, when this first got reported, I thought to myself, you know, what I had been saying earlier, and I got shot down in this studio by everybody here, when we talked about the West Virginia quarterback not playing against Syracuse. Oh, you don't understand. It's a trophy game. It's just that. This guy has proven himself that I guarantee you, if he was to sit out the rest of the year, he's 1, 2, or 3 getting picked anyway.
Yeah, even if he didn't show up for a game, he would have been 1, 2, or 3.
Right. So with that said, does this bode to your opinion that you had earlier, which was you thought Greer was right in sitting out? Do you think Zion Williamson should protect himself and sit out now?
No, not right now. Not at this point.
Okay, but you just admitted that he would be 1, 2, or 3 right now. He's going to be no matter what.
But this is totally different than what Greer did. Greer sat out an exhibition game. Zion Williamson's got a chance to lead his team to a national championship.
Okay, but how much higher up the ladder do you get if you're 1, 2, or 3 now? I'm just playing devil's advocate based on your logic, which was it didn't enhance his... He was protecting himself from injury. It didn't enhance his ability to move himself up the ladder unless he threw for 800 yards in the game or something. So isn't that true for this player right now?
No.
So what's the upside for him if he finishes the season and wins the national title? He gets picked 1, 2, or 3.
Well, it depends on his attitude. Like, if he wants to win a national championship, there's nothing better. If you go to college to play basketball, your goal is to win the national championship. And that's still on the table for him.
But he went to college because he was required to do
a year.
Reason he's at Duke is because he wants to win a national championship. It's not Greer going to play in an exhibition game against Syracuse.
Okay. Again, so I think the epitome of going to Duke or going to any college, I think any kid that goes to Syracuse is thinking, can we get ourselves into the Final Four and can we win a national championship?
Yes.
Granted. When you're talking about a player at this level, let's be truthful here. He's playing at Duke because he wants to play in the NBA.
Yes, but he has to go. So he chose Duke because
right.
that's his best path to a national championship.
Oh, no.
No, he didn't? Okay.
Okay. Hang on a second. Do you really believe, and this is where we're going to differ, that it matters to him that much when his path is to go to the NBA? That's what he wants. He didn't go to Duke because he had to win a national title. He went to Duke because it was the best program to go to that could win it, but he wanted to go to the NBA. He's a lock now to be the first or second probably pick in the draft, no matter what he does.
Why did he go to Duke at all? We don't have the one and done anymore, do we? Darius Bazley was able to go.
Well, yeah, but he screwed up.
But here's what's interesting.
Duke is the best program in the country. That's why he went there.
No question. It highlights his skills to be at Duke more than any other school.
Yes.
But what is the end all be all? This kid went to. If this kid could have gone straight into the NBA and played, he wouldn't have gone to Duke at all.
Correct.
So the end all be all is not for him to win a national title. The end all be all for him is to get into the NBA. So based on your theory, in my opinion, why would he not do what Pippen is saying? Why wouldn't he shut it down right now?
Has anyone ever done that before?
What's the advantage? I'm getting pulled into your tractor beam here. What's the advantage? The only thing that can happen to him is he's playing great.
Yeah.
He's already probably the number one pick, is he not?
One or two,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing that happens at Duke. If he wins a national title, that's not going to be the difference between being one or two. He's one of the two. So isn't it based on your theory of why he didn't play in an exhibition game in football? But in theory, the same thing. Why would he risk? Pippen's right. What if he blows his knee out against Nebraska in the first round of the NCAA tournament and screws it all up? Why would he play? He's already one or two no matter what he does.
But there's a huge difference between playing in games that actually mean something.
Listen to me. I hear you.
He's there. Why would he not play?
But if you're going to do the he's here, why wouldn't he play? It's the same thing then for the West Virginia quarterback.
No, it's not even close to the same thing.
Here's what's interesting between you two. Pauly is a sports traditionalist. He's an old man when it comes to sports. If you are on the team, you are part of the team, and you are there to perform for the team. Daniel
I beg your pardon.
It's
just the opposite. Because I said, when the West Virginia quarterback said he wasn't going to play against Syracuse, I said, what happened to pride? What happened to your team?
That was my argument.
So based on, I think you come in, you play. I'm not saying he should do this. I think he should play the year out. I think the goal is to highlight Duke as well as highlight yourself. But based on this, don't play in an exhibition game. You could hurt yourself. When you hear Pippen say it, I think to myself, well, if you're going to believe and buy in that logic of it, then why in God's name would he play another game? He could destroy his whole, he could hurt himself really badly.
Right. I know, but you're taking what I said wrong. Will Grier played in every game that mattered. He sat out an exhibition game.
Will Grier's not the number one or two pick in the NBA. So based on the protect yourself, protect your, and go for the money, and he should probably sit out the rest of the year.
But Zion Williamson is also being coached by the best coach in the country.
Right.
And he's learning. He's got to go play in the NBA still. He's basically at a trade school right now. He's learning basketball from Coach K. If he sits out, he loses the coaching from Coach K. He loses a chance at a national championship.
So your argument is that he's not ready for the NBA right
Nobody's
now.
Ready right away, really. There's very few people that just walk into the NBA and play at a great level.
So this is where what you said comes in then, Josh, because from a business standpoint, it is a terrible decision for him ever to walk on that court again, in my opinion. If I was his agent, besides how it might make him look.
He doesn't have an agent.
If I was his agent.
He doesn't have an agent.
If I was his agent, I would say, don't ever walk out of there again. All you have to do is screw it up now if you're the number one or two pick. So I can understand what Pippen's saying. He's done enough for Duke. From a business standpoint, it's a terrible idea for him to play for that university anymore, because there's nothing for him to gain except for, like you said, experience. But still, from a business standpoint, he makes no more money and he risks it all if he gets hurt in a game.
How many people get hurt so badly now that they never play again? It's 2019. People come back from knee surgeries. How freak of an accident would have to be.
Let me answer that question for you. So if we were to look at the guys that have hurt their knees in the football season, or hurt their knees in the basketball season that required surgery, that would have been in the top couple of picks, I guarantee they dropped in their draft order.
Well, I
can
flip it on Paulie right there. How many people die in plane crashes versus car accidents? It's the minute chance that keeps you off planes.
Yes, but so I'm not gaining anything from flying on a plane.
But I'm just saying in probability. We're talking probability.
My plane isn't Coach K teaching me how to play basketball.
So again, what we're doing is we're playing devil's advocate here, obviously, because I happen to think he should finish the season and play. But with that said, just from the business standpoint, he gets into the tournament. Duke's going to the tournament no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay, they're going. And in the round two against Charleston, you know, one of these bogus games, he blows his knee out or he ruptures an Achilles. You cannot tell me that his NBA draft stock, and I'm talking the signing bonus from being 1 and 2 to being 9, are significantly, pull it up.
Yeah, I know.
Significantly different. You're talking millions and millions of dollars. So is he not really risking that by playing at Duke?
He absolutely is, but so is every other player that's done it for the past, you know.
You know what we're doing? We're talking about this new trend that's going on. Guys are sitting out games. I'd never heard of this really 20 years ago. It never happened. No one did this.
If you were going into the NBA and you had a chance to learn the craft of playing basketball from Coach K, would you stop doing it?
Again, you can bring up, you know, morals and loyalty and education. Just from a business standpoint, Pippen's right. It makes no sense for this kid to risk his bodily injury and set himself back what could be 10 something. You know, they were talking about Baisley and what a backfire that was. And I'm sure, you know, there's got to be some tongue in cheek on the Syracuse coaching level and administration that isn't going, good, see what he got? But remember something, too. He's got $1 million to intern at New Balance. He's making $1 million.
I think it's interesting, too, if you look at the trend, like you said. Michael Jordan played 4 years at North Carolina, at UNC, and then we're at a point now where kids are thinking about playing 4 games before they go to the NBA.
Well, you know, and part of it too, you have to look at.
Back then, you didn't have to go to
college. I don't think you brought up the players deeper into the draft than him, and that's a great example about what Josh is saying. So hear me out for a second. I don't think if Zion started to if he dropped 4 or 5 points a game, and they went to a different go-to, like Chukwu just came out of the Syracuse lineup and Dolezal was starting. I'm sure Chukwu wasn't happy with that. But you never know. It could happen. What if Zion fell off? Is that going to make him still not the number 1 or 2 pick? No. Everyone knows this guy's a bull, and he's going to be a player, and he's going. But take the number 15 through 35 draft, and if that kid gets hot, if that kid goes through, like, you know who's a great example of it? Do you remember Bryant Big Country Reeves?
Yes.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
He goes, and if you look at him, he averaged like 9 points a game. He was a big kind of officious, you know, country-looking kid, but very large, large body. He went into the tournament, and he had talk about timing. He had the tournament of a lifetime. He takes Oklahoma State to the Final Four. They weren't even really a power, and no one saw that coming. And he had the tournament of a lifetime. The kid averaged like 22 points, 18 rebounds. I mean, it's crazy numbers, and upped his stock so much to the point that he was like a lottery pick, and they took him up, and I think they took him at...
He stunk in the NBA.
I know, but the point of it is he rang the bell. Now, if you're the kid, just the opposite. Let's say you come out the gate and the first 20 games you do Chukwu, 10 points a game, 18 rebounds, and you tear it up. And you turn around and you look at everybody and you go, why would I go back out there again? Why would I go back out there again right now? I'm going to move myself from the 64th pick to the 22nd right now.
I see. I have multiple questions for you too now on this.
Well, let's come back.
First of all, Michael Jordan didn't play 4 years.
He played 81 to 84.
He played 3 years at North Carolina.
UNC, yeah.
Second of all, if you're a GM, does it not hurt your stock if you sit out? If you're an NBA guy and you're like, look at this guy, he quit on his team.
Well, see, now I agree. You see, now you're kind of, you're straddling a little bit, in my opinion. And I'll tell you why. Because I do see that. I do. If I'm an NFL guy and I'm looking at this kid coming out of West Virginia, and I go, you didn't play in the bowl game after. I mean, yes, you didn't get where you wanted to, but you didn't go back and play for your school. Now, you immediately said, that's a practice game. It doesn't matter. No, but in theory of what you're talking about, that part about, what a quitter. You know, I'm going to say that to myself. If I'm a guy, I want a guy that wants to be there, wants to help his team, wants to, you know, be loyal. So that's a little tell about what the guy's like. So, but if you're going to treat it like a business, great movie, one of the greatest films ever made about football, North Dallas 40. Ted Kotcheff, the director, sat with me. He directed me in another film years later. And there's a great scene where Charles Durning, who plays one of the coaches of the Dallas Cowboys, is standing there with John Matuszak. And John Matuszak grabs Durning, a coach, and pins him up against a locker. And he says, when I call it a business, you call it a game. And when I call it a game, you call it a business. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about making those types of decisions that you make, morality, and it tells you something about who you are as a person, versus making multi-million-dollar business decisions. And we're going to come back, we're going to play So What, and we're going to talk about Jalen Hurts and what's going on in his life and how, again, this is a business decision. It's becoming about business, my friends. We'll be right back after this.
I'm so excited.
It's time for...
I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control and I just can't...
So What?
It's unlistenable radio. You understand
the
me?
Daniel Baldwin Show.
Hey now! We're still battling.
So What is brought to you by the Wildcat Sports Club in Camillus. Catch all the SU and NFL, remaining NFL action on their big screen TVs. Voted best sports bar in Syracuse by the 2018 New Times Readers, Wildcat in Camillus.
Speaking of battling, I gotta remember there's a camera in this studio.
Oh, yeah, oh my God, did you see the footage that they cut of you yesterday?
I put the gift
jumping up
there,
out of your seat, getting in my face. I'm gonna...
He's ready to throw hands.
I wasn't ready to throw hands.
I don't know if he was ready to throw hands.
I just get so mad.
But I have to say, if he wasn't below average in height, that I would have been a little more intimidated, because he stood right... You see, he aggressed me.
I knew he aggressed you.
Did he aggress me or not?
He aggressed you.
He aggressed me. Yeah, he aggressed for sure. For sure.
I just got to remember that stupid camera.
It's on all the time.
No,
you're always
picking
on
your nose, no fighting with people, nothing.
You aggressed me.
I just took my pants off, so I hope that wasn't caught on camera. Wow. I know you guys will talk about this more in the 11 o'clock hour after I get the hell out of here. The ACC schedule came out yesterday. Clemson Tigers will be in Syracuse very early, week number 3, Saturday, September 14th.
That works to our advantage, actually, that they're there that early.
So I'm sure you guys will cover that more as we go through the schedule in the next hour.
I'm going to mark down. I'm going to do – this is important. We want to hold on to this. We want to mark down – how many wins Syracuse is going to have. We're going to go through them one at a time. I'm going to mark mine now.
You were way off last year. I have last year's, and you were way off.
Everybody just needs to calm down about the game day thing, too. You got to see every other college football team's schedule before you start doing the whole, that could be the college game
day. Yeah,
they're
all saying, they're definitely coming here for game day.
I mean, Alabama's playing South Carolina that week. That's the first thing I look. Who's Alabama playing that week? That might be a better game than... So just everybody calm down.
Yeah. And what has been... a big week for James Harden. Last night, he put up 58 points and still lost. He got an over...
Way to read that story before you went on the air, bro.
I read it, but then something was highlighted.
Familiarize.
I was familiar with it.
Were you? Are you sure?
Yeah, he scored nearly 60 points and they lost last night. Nets Rockets.
Cool.
Was that an overtime game?
Yeah.
I think so.
And it's been a big week for James Harden. I mean, every single day he's got a high or a low or something is terrible.
Thank you.
You know what I want to know?
Descriptive.
He's got a high, a low.
I don't know. Things are happening. He lost.
What's he look like? He's high and he's low. What is Chris Paul doing in these games? Is he even playing right now?
He might be hurt. I don't know.
I think he's hurt. That's why Harden...
to watch sports and you ask me questions about that I don't know.
I don't want to go deeper than you can go. But...
Speaking of the national champions, the Clemson Tigers have been invited over to Michael Strahan's house for lobster and caviar after he joked about what the president served them in the White House.
Well, I hate when politics or politicians take advantage of things like they did here. Look, you couldn't have served some steaks on a grill or something for these guys to come. They're coming to take a trip. They won the national title. They upset Alabama. I think that the Trump people use this as an excuse to highlight what's going on with the partial government shutdown. It was really sad. They shouldn't have done that.
This is another, this is definitely a who cares to me. Like I, prior to Trump, I never knew what, I still don't. I don't know what the normal meal is at the White House for the day. Do they normally have a meal? Do they have finger foods?
When they invite a team over like that, when they invite the world championship, the baseball team or the Super Bowl team, they serve them a decent meal. There's salad. And
is there a dinner? Like I have zero, there's a lunch. What the meal was.
This is the White House. Okay. I have been to the White House to these types of functions.
Okay.
And it's usually, I'm not saying it's caviar and lobster, but there's shrimp out and there's stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Is it normally just shrimp and stuff sitting out, or do they have a sit down meal?
Well, okay.
I've never heard. This is where you get into this Trump thing. Trump does something weird, and all of a sudden it's outrageous.
Okay, so I think that it would be, unless you just have your devil's advocate hat on today, for you to not see the difference of, even if they put salad, shrimp, and cold cuts out, how much significantly better that is than to have Whoppers put out. So
I like a Whopper.
Okay, well, then great, man. I hope your team wins. I really do.
I don't know. Everything's just so blown out of proportion now.
He did it. Are you not going to say that you understand that he used it to emphasize the fact that there's a shutdown and he wanted to make those that oppose him look bad? That here's what it's come to. The White House has to have the winning national championship team come, and we can only afford to serve because they had.
I think he did it because he thought college kids would like hamburgers.
He absolutely did not do that. And he's already quoted as saying that essential staff members at the White House have been let go because they're not essential. So if the president wants something to eat, he has his personal chef there. That's considered essential. But the entire giant staff that comes in when they have events and stuff have all been let go and laid off for right now because they can't afford to pay them. So this was a, guess what? We're going to put fast food out to make an example of this. He did. The White House used it as a way to make a statement. They absolutely did.
I disagree.
Oh, my God.
And finally, 48-year-old Jeffrey Cassidy was caught peeping into a teenage girl's window down in Florida.
Good as asking.
Unfortunately, the teenage girl's dad was former Detroit Lion defensive back Tony Beckham, who chased him down, caught him, and, quote, had a good conversation, according to Tony Beckham, which must have involved multiple punches to the face because he's got black eyes now and is under arrest.
He's lucky he's not dead. He's lucky he's not dead. And that happens up where I live, and I see you in the window pleasuring yourself while you're watching my young daughter. This is what he was doing.
That's what he was doing.
I wouldn't have gone out to have a conversation with him at all. I would have opened the door and let the dogs go.
Ooh. They would have
Jethro
mauled.
And Rufus.
Mauled.
You do. Have you seen Jethro? Have you seen how large his poop is?
Yeah, I've seen it.
When he's pooped here in the studio?
I've seen it.
Yeah. His teeth are that large, too.
Yeah.
He eats that much.
I told Josh this story. Should I tell the story about what used to happen when we would get off the bus in my neighborhood?
Go ahead, yeah.
Tell it.
There was a weird, creepy guy in my neighborhood that would sit in his upper window with the blinds open, and when all the kids got off the bus, he would be up in his window doing that.
You know what he was doing, or you're speculating?
I saw.
Oh, you saw
Pog.
That explains a lot to me.
No, no,
that explains a lot to me.
But it's funny, like, we all laughed at it, but we didn't think anything of it.
Oh, Polly.
When you're in 10th grade, that's funny.
Okay, what movie? Oh, Polly, I'm watching you. You were green, so you could hide. Do you remember the movie?
No.
Come on!
No idea.
I'm going to have him pull it up so we can take it. Are we long again now? Should we get out of here?
So what? Brought to you by the Wildcat Sports Pub in Camillus. All the action on the big screen TVs Best Sports Bar 2018 New Times, Wildcat Sports Pub in Camillus.
This is the Daniel Baldwin Show.
And now, so we're going to have Rick Allen is going to call in. Because let me recap a little bit.
The drummer from Def Leppard?
No, the one-armed bandit. Oh. Was it Def Leppard?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in a building in a condo complex
that
I lived in.
Why did you do this, Josh?
Because I like these stories.
He lived in a condo complex I lived in. And my ex had a boxer, a female boxer. And when she split up with her husband at
as
the time,
a dog, not like a
boxer.
Athlete. Yes.
Yes.
Right.
And so my ex's ex-husband said, I'm moving. You have to take the boxer back. So suddenly we inherit this dog that had gone multiple years with not being with my mm-hmm. now ex. So it's like the second day we have this dog, right? Katie. And I take the dog out, and I don't think that, you know, I leash it. It's a condo complex. I leash it. I'm coming back, going to the elevator, and the one-armed bandit from Def Leppard is in there with his dog.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen no signs. No, it was probably more than a couple of days, probably like a week. We've seen no signs of aggression from the dog. The elevator door is open, and he's got his dog there. And Katie grabs the dog by the neck and just picks up and starts wringing this dog. I mean, throwing it back and forth with her head, and I'm flipping out. And this guy is kicking Kate, and she will not let the dog go. It starts just pooping in the elevator. I get my hand in there, and I'm prying Katie loose. She's trying to kill the dog. And I pry her loose, and he freaks out. And I'm like, man, I'm so... He goes, you gotta leash your dog. He, like, freaks out. And all I know is my dog is attacked. I don't know the guy.
Yeah.
I've never met him. I didn't even know he lived there. It was a big complex.
Right.
So I get the dog. I go back in. I call downstairs to the concierge. I go, my dog just attacked some guy's dog. And I mean, I want to go make sure the dog's okay. And he goes, what did he look like? I go, well, he had one arm. The lady goes, dude, that's so-and-so from...
Rick Allen, from Drummer. For the Drummer from
Right, so I ended up having to go there. Are there any medical expenses? I had to clean the elevator. It was frightening. Oh. I'm glad we got into that.
But that's not the Rick Allen we'll be talking
to.
We'll be talking to another Rick Allen.
So the story yesterday was that Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan signed a seventh grader. They offered him a... Well, I don't know if they signed him. They offered him a full scholarship.
Yeah.
So we went back and forth in here of... In this studio with what are the rules now for him? He's only been offered. He hasn't signed. That's actually the current status of the situation. So I said, well, he's from some little town in Michigan. Does he get to do, local commercials now because he's a celebrity or whatever? And immediately I got jumped on with, no, he can't do anything. And I thought, there's got to be some statute of limitations on this. I mean, you can't. So, and then we went into further things like, well, what would happen if we use Macaulay Culkin as an example? What would happen if Macaulay had done all this work? What if he had done, Rick, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, sir.
Hey,
how are you
Rick?
Doing?
Good, brother. So let me lay this out for you really quick so I don't have to do it twice. So this kid in Michigan that Harbaugh offered a full scholarship to is a seventh grade quarterback. And
right.
So I immediately said, well, wow, this kid's an instantaneous celebrity now. I wonder, does he get to take advantage of that anyway? He hasn't signed and he's only 12 or 13 years old. Well, the rest of the guys in the studio immediately jumped on me of, no, he can't do anything. He would lose his eligibility. And I said, well, what happens if he's Macaulay Culkin? What happens if he does movies? He's doing commercials. He has a career. And suddenly we find out at 15, he can throw a football. And he's been doing it since he's 5, 4, 3. So where is the line here in your understanding of it, Rick? In this particular kid's case, he's been offered a scholarship at age 12 to play at the University of Michigan. Does that mean right away he loses his amateur status even at 12? If he was to do something, say the local tractor company thought, because his name's been in the paper, they wanted to pay him to ride on a tractor. What's the rule?
If he got an offer like that, he would, well, my advice certainly would be to turn it down. just to avoid any possible rules issue and so forth. But if he got that, because he would get that because of his celebrity as a football athlete. So it would be permissible for him to do that within some guidelines, and that gets a little bit tricky to sort through all of that. But, you know, he can't sign anything this early. The offer really doesn't mean anything in terms of scholarship or his commitment to Michigan. That can change at any time. I mean, you know, how many of us think Harbaugh is still going to be the coach at Michigan when this young man's ready to go to college?
Well, what if he wants to sign the offer right now? He's not allowed to by NCAA rules? Is there an age limit?
He's not allowed to. Michigan can't. No school can actually put a scholarship offer in front of him until he's in his senior year of high school.
I see.
Oh.
Okay, so then take us through, to set us up now. Now take me through the scenario that I said about Macaulay Culkin. What if Macaulay Culkin turns around and he's doing movies, he's Michael Jackson's fantasy, he's whatever, he has a whole career, 10 years or more, making millions and millions of dollars, and then suddenly decides he wants to play in his baseball team his junior year in high school, and turns out he can throw a little pellet. What happens to him?
He would probably be okay as long as he was doing non-athletic type spots.
Okay.
Now, if he was doing commercials for Nike, Adidas, something like that, that could be problematic. If he's doing something for the tractor company, the scenario you laid out earlier, a business that's not a sports-related business, he actually probably could do that.
So he could do that for a tractor company, but wouldn't he be getting the money from the tractor company because he's an athlete? Like, you know what I'm saying?
If he's not in Macaulay Culkin's example, he's saying.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying this other kid, if he is doing a tractor company commercial, the only reason he's getting that commercial is because he's an athlete, correct?
Well, he's not an athlete yet. He's being offered the scholarship because Michigan offered him he's getting the money for the commercial because Michigan offered, not because of anything he's probably really done in the field as a seventh grader.
Now, interestingly,
according to the NCAA rules, he's not considered under the definition of a prospective student athlete, which is the NCAA's term for a recruit. Under the NCAA's definition of a prospective student athlete, he doesn't even fall into that category yet until he's in ninth grade.
Cha-ching!
Well, see, but, all right, here's
it. Can we please
We're
introduce
talking to Rick Hill from,
is, yes.
from informedathlete.com. He's a rules expert and helps kids with their decisions and what they can and can't do. So as soon as he hits ninth grade, that commercial's off the table, though, right? Is that what you're saying?
It's more, well, the thing is, as you guys know, these NCAA rules can change from year to year. The annual NCAA convention is coming up here in a couple of weeks in Orlando. The rules change periodically as these NCAA committees review various situations. One like this might draw the attention of one of these rules oversight committees. So by the time he's in ninth grade, these rules could change, and can't tell you for sure what they might be at that time.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, you know, I actually personally have a situation. It wasn't college-wise, but when they came out with the celebrity golf tour, so and you know, they tried to keep it to high single digit handicaps were the worst. Unless you were a really big name, you know. So if you're Charles Barkley, they really don't care how well you golf. But you know, there were a lot of athletes and a lot of actors that wanted to play on this tour. Excuse me. And so when it came my time, I was playing in 12 events a year or whatever. And you won money. Even the last place guy won money. If you decided to renounce immediately once you took a check, you lost your amateur status. So I didn't realize the complications of doing that. And you can go to the boards of whatever sport it is or whatever league it is and plead the reasons why you want your amateur status reinstated. Because I did take money. I took money to play for multiple years, not realizing that I was no longer going to be allowed to play as an amateur in bigger events. So when I got invited to go to a couple of big, you know, the U.S. Open, or I got invited to go to some of the bigger tournaments, they told me I could no longer play. I'd have to play as a pro, and therefore I'd have to play into the tournament and qualify, which I was never going to be able to do against the pros. So I had to plead a hardship of why I wanted my and I eventually got my amateur status reinstated. Many of these types of things, Rick, are looked at on an individual basis depending on the circumstances, are they not?
An NCAA school, whether it's Michigan or wherever this young man in this scenario may end up going to college, if that was an issue, you know, they could certainly seek a waiver from the NCAA to have his eligibility reinstated based on the whatever the circumstances end up being over the next few years.
Where the rules stand now. If a ninth grade, so once they become recruitable in ninth grade or whatever year it is, can a kid in any way whatsoever profit off of his recruiting process? Whereas, like, say, hey, I'm a huge athlete and a local store wants to use me as, like a local gas station wants me to use me as a spokesperson. Is that possible to do?
I believe it is. The tricky thing about these rules are they can overlap a little bit, and one situation may be different than another. I'll give you an example of what would be permissible. Is there's a rule in there that because he now has some notoriety through this announcement and social media and so forth, it would be totally permissible for Nike or Adidas or Under Armour to send him apparel and equipment for football as long as they're not being directed or requested to do so by a college coach.
Yeah, so there are perk packages. There are ways of doing this. And this is what and here's why this takes place.
How come nobody does it, though? That's my question.
But they do. And so here's why.
They do?
Okay. Yes, there are some that do. And the reason why is because you have to look on the flip side of the coin. What are his rights? What are his family's rights in as far as how many guys get to go ahead and play in the pros and do? So once you're in college for sure and under contract, the rules stiffen dramatically because you're playing. When you're being recruited, because you're really not considered a recruit until you're a senior and you can't jump like in college out of high school early, they're going to make you wait in every pro sport. So with that said, what are his rights? I've always said all along that I would challenge, if I was an athlete that was 18 years old and came out of high school and the NFL told me, you can draft me and send me to Vietnam and make me carry a gun and fight for my country. You can actually make me do that. You can make me pay taxes. You can make me do all these different things. But I don't have the right in the free market to walk away and say, I want to play in the NFL right now. I would challenge that in the Supreme Court. I believe that's an issue that would probably, I'd have a good chance of winning. Hey, I really do.
Hey, Rick, thanks for coming on with us. His website is informedathlete.com. Tell us a little bit about what you do on your website, Rick.
So we advise high school and college athletes and their families on basically anything related to the college athletic rules of eligibility, recruiting rules, scholarship strategies, transfers, waivers, appeals for not only NCAA programs, but NAIA and junior college as well. We just want to be a resource for families when they have questions, they don't know who to trust, who they can turn to, that they can contact us and we can be a resource for them.
Okay, Rick, I'm going to lay out, before we go, I'm going to lay out a quick scenario for you. Very limited IQ. Very limited in the height department. Is Paulie Sebelius sitting to my right really qualified to be on this show? I just want to know.
Absolutely.
There you go. Absolutely. Thank you, Rick. Thank you for that ruling.
He's proven that over time.
Thank you, Rick. Where are you out of? Where are we calling to? Where are you calling from?
We are located in the Madison, Wisconsin area.
Yeah, lovely baby. Get up there to the Dells and knock down some walleye, baby.
Thank you, Rick Allen, informed athlete, former NCAA compliance officer, too, by the way, the first ever.
That is full-time. Insane to me.
What? Yeah,
is Rick gone?
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Why don't we go to, you want to go to break early?
So have you ever seen a high school kid in a commercial?
Actually, I was about to bring up what about the apparel? Because I know they send them truckloads of stuff.
Well, yeah, that's not what I'm saying, though. I'm saying.
But that's money.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying about being able to use your stardom to.
Like locally, Breonna Stewart was a big name in high school.
She could have done commercials. That's Breonna crazy. Breonna should have called
me. I would have taken care of her.
Yeah, so I'm saying businessman.
Yeah, and then you're also, but this kid's different too. He's not even considered a student, like potential to be a student athlete yet.
No.
But there's also another big, big difference that you have to look at. It's what sport. If you're a track runner, football's way different. There's no Olympics. The Olympic Committee is way stricter than the NCAA. So if you take a dime, if you take anything without them knowing about it, you've lost your Olympic eligibility.
Like gymnastics and whatnot. Like
yes,
gymnasts and
or basketball.
Yeah.
So the fact that he plays football, he's okay.
We're way behind. We'll combine two breaks. Come back and say goodbye to Josh.
We're going
to
come back and say goodbye officially? I like it.
This is the Daniel Baldwin Show.
Hey now. And we're back for hour number two. Now, this is the first time we will be doing this. We have an actual ceremonial music that we're going to play.
You wanted outro music, so I picked my favorite outro music, which is the end of the Late Show with David Letterman.
All right, so now, do we need to say anything else?
No, I'm just saying goodbye.
Have we gotten permission for you to leave after 2 hours?
What do you mean?
After an hour?
Yeah, after an hour. Like, well, have you gotten permission to leave?
Well,
from who?
From the great one, from Ed.
He doesn't care.
You sure?
We should text him about that.
He has never mentioned this show and my life in the same sentence, so I don't expect
never? Him. Like, even how you got
you're
here?
On the show.
I'm on the show, but he's not.
I'm pulling up Baldwin right now. Yeah, let's get Ed involved in this.
Let's get Ed involved.
Go ahead.
I think you should have to do 2 hours.
He likes me right now, so I...
Why, have big new numbers came in?
No.
Why does he like you so much?
Because I'm just lovable and adorable.
No, come on. Tell us the truth.
No, don't worry about it. I do got to go, though. I got a meeting.
Who are you meeting with?
I got an important meeting to do.
With YouTube?
We don't! Goodbye. Goodbye.
He's just going to chase you back in here. We have him on. Look at him out. Look at him run out.
There's his exit music.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's not very interesting.
Hang up the phone.
No, I'm calling the great one.
No.
He's not going to answer. He sees it's me. He doesn't want to talk to me. He sees it's me. Do you hear it ringing?
Will you just hang up the phone? You cause undue stress.
What do you mean? You brought him up. You said to the great Ed Levine.
On the air.
Oh, I love calling. You know what? I think he's one of the best guests I've ever had on the show.
Not saying he's not.
I think he is. The Syracuse football schedule has come out. Did you get a copy of this, or did Forrest only give me a copy?
He only gave you
one. Oh, my God. What is wrong with this? Nicky Kneecaps, are you out there listening? Come in, Nick. Come in the studio, please. Nicky Kneecaps.
I have the schedule open on the website in front of me now, so we're ready to roll.
All right. August 31st, Liberty. Win or lose, Syracuse.
What?
Sit down for a sec, Caps. Win or lose. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Cuse over Liberty. We're going to break this down?
Yeah, we're going to do it right now. Right now. Okay. This is pretty... I'm just going to see what you... Maryland.
Maryland, Syracuse wins.
Okay. Clemson.
Cuse loses.
Okay. Western Michigan.
Win.
Holy Cross.
Win.
North Carolina State. At NC.
Loss.
Pauly says loss. Okay. Pittsburgh.
Win.
Florida State. At Florida State.
Loss.
Boston College.
Win.
Duke Blue Devils.
Win.
Louisville Cardinals.
Win.
Wake Forest.
Win.
Okay. So we have the exact same, with the exception of I have one more win. I think we're also going to beat NC State. I think we're 10 and I think we win 10 again next year without a bowl game. I think we go 10-2. I have us losing to Florida State on the road, and I have us losing to Clemson. I think the payback for
the issue with this, doing this so early, is You don't know who's going to be the Syracuse of next. You know what I'm saying, though?
You don't know anything.
Yeah, it's really insane to do this right now, and I like what I've just done. I like my picks. But there's going to be a Syracuse next year in the ACC again.
Caps, we don't need to listen to them anymore, do we?
Really? You say you don't want to talk about football. You'd rather talk to
Mush Mouse and Pumpkin Puss. I have an idea. I want to run this idea by you. We need a social media presence for the show, and I'm thinking they are not using your amazing skill set of knowing online and knowing stuff. Can we work something out where when you come here, you no longer have to do this nonsense and deal with these people, and you deal with me and we do the social media? Can you do it?
I mean, I could do social media. Yeah, I know.
So if we set up a website for the show and then open up a Facebook page for it, a Twitter account for it, an Instagram thing, I can send you, as the administrator, clips, like stuff from the car, and you can load it up on all those. And then I'm also thinking that, say, Paulie and his personal stuff could be attached to the page, too, if you want to get a hold of Paulie, right? And they all be, you know what I mean? Like, we connect my personal. You can do all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, listen, this is a no-brainer.
Okay, so this was more important than the football schedule?
Well, you picked all the games. We agreed on everything except for the NC State game. I think we're going to beat NC State. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to win one more game than you did. We went through the schedule. Do you need to bang down the door yet? It's 18 months away. So anyway, I want to know, because that's going to take you out of your skills are not being used here, and I think...
His skills are sleeping.
Wow. You got to give me an opportunity, Paulie.
Right.
You've been here a year sitting there. I'm doing everything.
Do you know who
he
is?
I've done everything you
asked. I got it. Remember we were looking for another nickname for him? For you. I know the nickname for you now. You know what it is? What's the nickname? Hobbs.
Like
Hobbs.
Roy Hobbs.
Remember, they wouldn't even let him. Do you ever see The Natural? Oh, my God. You guys see the greatest baseball movie ever made. So... Hobbs is on the, he gets pulled up to the Yankees, and he's like, you know, almost 40 years old. And so and the team was called the Knights, but it was supposed to be the Yankees. And so they won't even let him take bat. You can sit this one out, Hobbs. They wouldn't even let him take batting practice. And then finally, I'm going to send you down, Hobbs. I'm sending you down to the minors. And he goes, I just wanted a chance. I was here every day. But he goes, get out there and hit. And he jacks like 19 straight home runs in batting practice. And they all went, holy crap. And he becomes like the Mickey Mantle of the New York Yankees. But it was because they didn't put him in a game, Hobbs. All he wanted was a chance. All my boy Roy Hobbs here wanted was a chance, Paulie. You're like, what was the coach's name? Pop something. Pop.
It's Nicky.
What are you talking about?
He's Mushmouth.
Let me tell you something. He is 15 times smarter than you ever imagined to be.
Okay.
Why do you pick on this kid? What's are you? You know what I also noticed around you? It's really interesting. Forrest gets very uptight around you. He gets very uptight around you. Is he feel you coming? Does he feel the hug?
I think we're good.
You guys are good? Okay. He forgets that he's on camera too.
Is this?
He's totally on camera. I figured I better warn you.
It's so great that we're talking
Hobbs,
about this.
Hobbs. I'm calling him Hobbs. All right, Hobbs, we're going to go over stuff today. You can go now.
We're going to do listener emails feel good? Next.
Yeah.
I like it. We're going to do, we've got emails coming. Yeah, we're going to work on the emails together too. You're gonna take over the social media aspect of it. I think that's a good idea.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. You want to go to break?
Yes.
You want to go to break and come back and do some emails?
Yep.
All right, let's go to break. We'll be right back.
This is the Daniel Baldwin Show.
Hey now. And we're going to do a new segment now. We're going to do this. We're going to do it every day. You want to do it every day?
Oh, Lord. Sure.
How you feel?
Good.
You see, you got to learn how to let it
people
roll
need to,
off your
people
back.
Need to tweet at us and whatnot and DM us and... Some people have slid into Daniel's DMs, and he's a...
We have emails that come in. Sometimes the emails come in. Forrest, how many emails do you think we get? A couple hundred a day?
Sounds about right.
So about a couple of hundred emails a day. And you know, when you Forrest is in the position of having to produce the show and having to do a lot of things, and I just screamed at Forrest. I apologize for raising my voice to you like that.
It's fine.
I don't need
I was
to do
out,
it.
I was online. I shouldn't have talked to you that way.
I like this segment should be called Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in?
Yeah.
Genius.
Like sliding in the DMs.
I like it.
DB's DMs.
But these and now if we could come up with an acronym for DM or DB. Douchebag DMs?
Don't talk about yourself that way.
I wouldn't dare.
You're a great
fan. Forrest, give us, these are the all-stars of yesterday. Give us number one. What do we got?
We got Gustavo from North Syracuse saying, why don't you ever report on soccer? It is the most popular sport in the world.
Why don't we ever report on soccer, Paul?
Because this is America. This is Trump's America.
That's exactly, you know, I believe as the trumpets, as they like to say, aren't they building a wall to keep soccer players out of this country? The answer would be, we're terrible in soccer, basically. Maybe the girls have a couple of good runs every once in a while, but we're we're not known as a soccer nation. You know, if you want to go see, I beg you, as a sports enthusiast, if you ever want to see something of epic proportion, go to the World Cup. I've been a couple of times now, and it is absolutely spectacular, the dedication to this game around the world. But for some reason, maybe it's baseball, or for whatever reason, it never matched, you know, the national pastime in this country. And soccer never, I lived during that time as a kid when the Cosmos came and soccer looked like it was going to make its run. And the girls' programs were really built in the late 70s and through the 80s, really. You know, so I watched it grow and get to its epitome. I think it's definitely gone down a little bit again now. It was, but, you know, Mia Hamm, and that was probably the gloriest of glory days. And I don't think they can match what they had once acclaimed to do. But, yeah, we're not a soccer nation. So the reason why we don't report on soccer is because no one cares. That's really the reason why.
But the only reference I have is as a kid even thinking about soccer was the San Diego Sockers. Like, they were decent back then. And I don't even know if they exist still.
Well, I don't even know.
It was like indoor soccer league, I think.
Oh.
But it was professional. And
I remember in New York, we had the Cosmos, and they signed a guy named Giorgio Chinaglia. And when they signed this guy, it was like the biggest news. It was like when we signed Beckham, you know, when we took him away from the Premier League in England, and he signed to play out in L.A. But this was a huge deal that we got this, you know, this Ronaldo, you know, level player, this Pele of soccer. And the Cosmos fizzled out, and they ended up disenfranchised in like 3 years. But that was the big news. What's our next piece of mail, Neil?
We got Barbara Jean from Cicero saying, you guys should go check out the Syracuse basketball team. They are better than the boys.
You know, that's actually true. That's actually very true.
The girls team, it says.
The girls team.
Yes.
Yeah, the girls, the SU girls team, they're really, really good. I mean, they're a threat this year. I would say that record-wise, I think they're ranked what, number 12, 13?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, they're up there. They're poised to break into the top 10. But here's something that we talked about now that Neil has brought this up through this email. Why do the girls at SU get no love banner-wise in the dome?
Oh boy. You're touching that hot button issue that Brent Axe brought up.
Well, I'm just wondering, they've gone to the Final Four. There's no Final Four banner
they should
for them.
That's the one where, at this point, that if you're going to talk about women's basketball, having retired jerseys, stuff like that, that's the one I think is it should be for all sports. If you made the Final Four, there should be a banner in the dome.
Well, we just came from Duke. They had them.
Yeah.
Or you put one banner up, and then you say the years the team went to it if you don't want to put an individual banner.
Yeah, when you get into the Duke level, yeah, you got to do that.
Right,
so you
right.
Say, if Duke did one for everyone, there would be no ceiling.
Right, but for Syracuse's boys or girls to go to the Final Four, I mean, again, the Elite Eight, even the 16, you'd think, you know, I mean, it's not like you have that kind of hardware that you can't afford to put in a dome stadium. You know, I mean, if we were winning national championships you know, like Clemson and Alabama do in football, I could see that we were worried about taking up space. We are in a giant stadium, you know. I mean, you would think I'm gonna go to Johnny Wildhack on that.
There should be a Final Four banner for every Final Four men's and women's in that dome.
What if we start a movement? What if we pick? Because the men's can afford their own stuff. Jim Boeheim can say, I want a Final Four thing up there, and it's going to go up tomorrow, I promise. Why don't we start a movement to get Final Fours for the girls? We do some kind of fundraiser and get them their banner.
I don't think the university needs a fundraiser. It's just a matter of doing it. And I think if you went through all the issues that they have in the dome, a banner is probably the least of the worries right
now. Well, I want to disc Coach Q.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
Why you want to diss Coach
Q?
I
said it should be up there.
Goes to the Final Four. He wants a banner. What's the matter with you? I want to get Q on the phone. Let's put him down the list. We want Coach Q.
All right, go ahead.
Jill K. from Fayetteville said, why does Pauly hate you so much, and why aren't you a national show?
Wow. I get the same email.
Well, there's a two-pronged question. Well, I guess the first
That's
part.
That's a universal email.
I'm going to let you answer the first part, and I'll answer the second. So read the question again slowly, please, Forrest.
Why does Pauly hate you so much, and why aren't you a national show?
Pauly, why do you hate me so much?
I don't hate you at all.
Pauly, a viewer, an avid listener.
It's so funny because I get that same message. Why
do you really?
Yeah, why does Daniel hate you? Why do you guys hate each other? I don't hate him.
I don't get anyone asking me why I hate you.
Yeah, you just did.
No, that's just why do you hate me? And there's a big difference between that question. I don't get anybody that doesn't get my humor and understand that I'm just right a lot, that they think that I hate you. As a matter of fact, I've never had anyone ask me whether I hate you or why do I hate you. But listen,
nobody's ever asked me why do I hate Daniel.
No, I beg to differ.
That wasn't to me.
Why don't you ever report on soccer? Where is it? Why does Pauly hate you so much, and why aren't you a national? So this is someone is watching and listening to the show,
yes.
And they have, in their opinion, they have come to the conclusion that you hate me.
Yeah, I have gotten emails also saying, why does Daniel hate you?
Right. I have never, this is an email to the show. Okay. I have never gotten an email that says, why do you hate Pauly? So obviously, the projection when people watch your, and it could be just your passion. Could be just your passion for what we're doing.
I hated you yesterday.
You did? Did you hate me yesterday?
Yes.
Why did you hate me yesterday? Because this is when this came in.
You just poke.
You almost took a swing at you.
I didn't almost take a swing.
How did I? People, you aggressed me. Why can't you? Why can't you go back to the videotape if you have any doubt over this? You aggressed me yesterday. You jumped out of your seat. You threw something down the table, and you got like standing over me.
I took my headphones off.
I figured I could take your full first shot, so I didn't even move.
I was going to throw the headphones.
Does he take me down in one shot?
I don't think so.
No.
I was going to throw the headphones.
If he had one shot, it had to be a pretty good shot.
I was going to throw the headphones, and then I realized I'm at okay, work. So, I need to come out, and I set my headphones down.
Can you recall why at that moment you burst out of your... What was the turning point for you?
I made a mistake, and I get really kicked at myself when I make a mistake.
Uh-huh. Oh, when you almost leaked information to Josh.
Yeah. I almost said who the mystery guest was
right.
to Josh.
Well, you actually did say part of the person.
Yes. Yeah, so, and I caught myself, and then you poke. Why do you do things like that all the time? Why you always poke at me?
I think what I said and was, no, because I heard it coming.
Yeah, no, that wasn't it. But then afterwards, you're like, you always do stuff like, and you just like, you were like the disappointed father, and you just poke and
ooh,
poke.
Now we're getting closer to what it's
me insane.
Now we're
you're
getting closer to what it's really about.
You're an antagonist.
You used the statement, the disappointed father. See, so now for me, let me tell you that I'm going to turn this around on me so you don't think I'm... I mean, my father was very physical with us,
mm-hmm.
very physical. And so it brings back very bad memories sometimes. Now, he didn't do it because he hated us. He just was the school he came from, that Marine, but you grabbed the kid, you gave him a smack, whatever it was. So I'm in a gas station in Santa Monica, and I'm pumping my gas, and this kid's probably 4 or 5 years old, he's in the car, and he's really winding the father up, yelling at the window, rolling the windows down. And this guy turns around and leans in the car and grabs by the shirt and pulls him out through the open window. Now, He didn't beat him. He didn't, but I saw the kid's legs suspended off the ground. He had him and the kid's crying. And he put him back kind of abruptly back through the window into the car and like kind of hit the seat and fell down. And I walked over and I grabbed this guy and slammed him up against the car with my hand on his throat going, if you ever... And of course the police came and they're like, what are you doing, dude? You can't grab... So I went, did you see what he did? You know, and I go, there's cameras here. And I'm like really angry. When you trace it back to a feeling or something else, for you, the idea... You hit it on the head. The idea of disappointing someone or through some effort of your own really hits that inner child thing for you. I can see that now.
But you do the why do you do that all the time? Why did you do that?
I want to go back and listen to and see the, because I don't think I said why do you do that all the time. I don't think I did. I think again.
And then you play doctor psychologist on me like you're doing now, and it just makes me want to throw things around.
Do you want to throw things around again now?
No, not now.
Right now?
No, because I didn't screw up. Because
am I playing doctor psychologist with you right now? And that makes you want to throw things around?
No, because it's not coming off of an error. You know, like when you do it.
Technically, every day you sit in front of a microphone is coming off an error, is it not?
When you do it off of a mistake and I'm still flustered and then you start trying to break down my mental state, it makes me want to kick you in the teeth.
Forrest, did you witness the aggression?
What aggression?
Yesterday.
The aggression yesterday. Did you only see it in a replay?
I only saw the GIF that Josh made.
Okay.
Was not.
Did you listen? Were you listening to the show at the time when?
Of course.
When he went through this tirade?
Yeah. Okay. It was when you guys got into that argument over the NCAA rules.
Did you feel it that I did anything that constituted being physically aggressed?
I didn't physically anything with you.
Did you see the thing Josh did? Did he physically aggress me in that?
No, but I do see the thing where Paulie
I beg
said,
your pardon. Pull
I
it up.
I stood up. Pull I didn't up. Physically pull, touch you or
pull
anything.
Pull it up. I Here, beg your pardon.
Here's what I think, Adam. I think in a way Paulie was right. You were kind of poking him and you kind of did send him off. But I feel like he was just like so angry. He just like kind of clenched his fist like he's trying to control his anger, just trying to chill out.
I was overly... I had not slept in 24 hours,
he was on
basically.
Edge. He yelled at me yesterday after the show. He was on edge.
Yeah, so... There. Let's take a break. God.
Let's take a break and be
back. We'll come back. What do you got on your list of what we're doing next?
I'm going to tell you what we're doing next. I'm going to tell you what we're doing next. We're going to do the ice disc in Maine. We're going to talk about the ice disc in Maine. And we're going to close up with talking about Kyrie Irving actually called LeBron James to apologize to him. And we're going to discuss why in the last segment of The Big Show. We'll be right back. Hey now, and we're back. So, you know, I don't want to be locked into just sports all the time.
Get out of here.
I don't want to be locked into just sports. I know that comes as a shock to you. I realize that. I want to read you this article. Now, I know you've taken a look at this already. You can fade the music out now anytime now.
It's cold as ice.
I know it's cold as ice.
Trying to be funny.
But my velvety tones won't be heard.
Okay, go ahead.
A giant ice disc churning in a river that runs through the small city of Westbrook, Maine, set off fevered speculation on Tuesday. Was it an icy landing zone for aliens, a sign of impending doom, a carousel for ducks? A handful were, in fact, enjoying the ride. The Boston Globe wrote that it is like some type of Arctic buzzsaw, and residents hurried to the edges of the Presumpscot River to catch a glimpse. Now, I've seen this thing. And
it looks like the moon in the water.
It does. It does. It looks like the top of the moon is, you know, like just peeking out, and it's spinning at very slow speed, obviously because of the current of the river. It does look kind of moonish, asteroidish. Yeah. So now this phenomenon has occurred before. I see you're pulling up the one on The Guardian. That's the one I looked at. But is it some type of marking? Is it some type of, it's an awful strange looking thing, isn't it?
It's some piece of ice.
If some big tractor beam comes out of it now.
Are you trying to sell aliens on this?
Boy, it's kind of scary looking. It's kind of scary.
It
is really cool. Has anyone gone under it to see what's under it? I mean, could it be the top of a ship? Is it, you know, do we,
It's a UFO now?
Has anyone gone under it to see?
No, but that would be cool if they sent a...
Let me tell you something. Do you realize that I could have my name in so many history books? I could be so incredibly famous.
It's hypnotizing.
It is hypnotizing, isn't it? It looks like a cloudy breast implant spinning in the water.
I would go with the moon. It looks like the moon.
It does. It looks like
not a cloudy breast implant.
It does look like a removed breast implant.
Okay, so how are you getting in the history books with this ice disc?
Okay, I'm not getting in with the ice disc.
No.
So back in 19, I want to say it was
37. I
had to go through college, 83, 84.
Are we keeping you up here?
No, I'm going to say it was 88. I would go on these National Geographic trips, I call them. So my favorite magazine of all time is National Geographic, and I would rip out articles of things that I thought were cool and put them in a file. And then after every 4 or 5 years, I'd take out the file and say, okay, it's time to pick one, and I would go and see it. So I always wanted to go to Easter Island. Are you familiar with Easter Island?
Yes.
Okay. So the giant heads of stone that are there. And so I'm on one of these tours. There's only a couple of hotels you can really stay. It's a very small island in the Pacific. And so, off of, about it's about a 2,000 miles off the tip of Chile in South America. And so I go, and I'm looking at them, and the guide is standing there, and you're not allowed to touch them. You know, I'm like, can I climb up on it and have my picture taken? You know, typical American. He goes, no, you can't touch them. And I said, I got to ask you a question. Has anyone ever dug one up? And he goes, no, you can't. And I went, well, how do you know there's not a whole body down there? How do you know it's not? He goes, well, of course there's not a whole body. Some of them are larger than others, but they were pushed down. Sure enough, in 1999 or something, they used these sonar things to detect. They're like 140 feet long. They have full bodies, full torsos, legs and feet, and go all the way into the ground. And they've been buried by the sand on the earth. But no one had realized that. So I'm standing there 15 years before anyone ever dug one up. And I went, well, how do you know it's not like gigantic? It doesn't have feet and legs and everything. And they went, yeah, no, that they don't have that. They don't. So I could have been the guy that went out there that night with a shovel and dug up the first Easter Island.
Was that back in your drug days? I could see.
Oh, totally, dude. It would have taken the normal human being a week. I'd have dug it up in a night. Are you kidding me? I'd have been out there going, that looks like a foot. Yeah. Yeah. So don't count yourself out. Don't sell yourself short ice disc.
So you're saying the ice disc could potentially be a flying saucer?
All I'm saying is, has anyone gone under it to look what's under it?
I think that's a great idea. The fact that there's not video of a submarine.
Well, yeah, you would think some kind of vessel would shine a light on it and see, you know, does it have tentacles? What's going on underneath there? Are you blaming the current for spinning it? It actually has a motor and fins. And I don't know.
It's a piece of ice, bro.
You know what? It may be as simple as that. It might be. Then again, there might be an entire body underneath the sand, and the thing's 120 feet tall. I don't know. But, you know, I'd rather not find out 20 years from now that while I sat here on the radio, I said, go check this bad boy out, and no one did it. You feel me?
Yes. We have. I feel like I'm on an episode of that show with Leonard Nimoy. What was that stupid show?
Star Trek?
No, it was The Voice, and he did all the mysteries.
Oh, I don't know.
It was back in the day.
Leonard Nimoy discovers, you know, or something.
Yeah, so here's your two options for the final segment.
Okay, I had an option.
We got the Kyrie Irving thing.
Right.
And we also have, I want to do at some point, sounding off with Neil Boedeker. And he comes in blind. And he plays
Get him in here. The
most important audio.
Get him here. I just yelled and screamed at him. Get him in here.
But this is the segment. He takes sports audio from the night before or the week.
Okay.
And he plays for us what he thinks is the most important audio.
Has he done that for today yet?
Yes.
Get it, Neil, get in here. Let's go to break. We'll be right back.
This is the Daniel Baldwin Show.
I know.
All right, I'm putting my life on the line here and trusting our good friend Neil Boedeker to do his own segment called Sounding Off, where he finds the audio that we need to hear.
Well, off my Kyrie segmented piece that I had printed and ready to go, so I hope this is hot.
I bumped it.
I hope it.
All right, first piece we got. Mike Golic on Golic and Wingo this morning, they got into the discussion that you guys were talking about, Scottie Pippen saying Zion Williamson should sit out, and he ended up talking about Darius Bazley, and this is what he had to say about
him. In the mock drafts that are out, there are 15 freshmen that, where he would be right now, who are potentially going to go in the first round. Where is he? He's listed as 36, number 36 pick of the second round. Gotcha. That's where he's listed. If he played, and he was playing right now and showing something, maybe he would be higher than that.
You're right. You know, could you imagine sitting out just to be a second-round pick? Like he's and this goes back to the Zion. He's missing out on being coached by a Hall of Fame coach and learning, you know, so.
Well, I think that if you want to look at testimonial for why this was a terrible decision on his part, and I'm going to play both sides of the coin here. Look no further than Tyus Battle, who semi-tested the waters only to, and that's after averaging 20 points a game for Syracuse in the very difficult ACC, and still decided to come back, which I predicted he would do. On the other side of the coin, I will say this. We don't know what his family's needs are. We don't know what his financial needs are. Had he come back to college, he would not have made a dime. And he was given a $1 million fee to intern at New Balance. So he's $1 million richer, which can go a long way, and maybe he needed the money.
Bruce Arians went on Adam Schefter's podcast, and his old player, Antonio Brown, got brought up, and this is what he had to say.
I like Antonio. He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. He just got to make better decisions off the field, be on time, do some of those little things.
I'm sticking with he's going to be a Steeler again next year. Everybody says he's gone. I don't see any way the Steelers can get rid of him and Le'Veon Bell in the same year and even attempt to be competitive.
Well, I think that would depend on what they're going to get as compensation for him, you know. So certainly he is the best or one of the best. Him and Odell Beckham and maybe a couple of others are in that real stratosphere.
And what was teased before, Kyrie Irving, after the Celtics beat the Raptors, had this to say about LeBron James.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. And obviously, this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips. And I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that. And, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people. And Bron was one of those guys.
How do you think people in Cleveland, like actual Cavs fans, feel when they hear that?
They could have gotten another ring if he didn't do that. But it's you grow up. You grow up in life, and that's what he's saying. Hey, I made a mistake. You know, you grow up. And I think Cleveland fans and everybody will get over this, you know. But it's big of him to say that.
Yeah, I think you don't. This is the epitome of you don't know until you walk in someone's shoes. And so to now be the guy in Boston, to carry that burden, to know that game in and game out, when you lose, you know, you can blame no one but the guy who gets 64% of the touches. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, look at Harden. It won't matter him scoring 51 and 57. They lost. If he's not going to bring a ring back to Houston this year, I think the season was a loss. Second place, so what?
And a CNN reporter went on a African-American man's radio show, and the clip just explained itself.
Well, David, you know, that's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
How do I have the privilege of white privilege?
David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege. This whole long conversation, I don't have time to get into.
Areva, I hate to break it to you, but you should have been better prepped. I'm black.
That is gold. The only thing that saddens me is, what was her reaction? I want to hear her reaction.
She kept trying to apologize, but he was really upset, and he wouldn't really let her get out the apology. He was going on this rant about his resume, and she was trying to get out an apology, but he was basically just ranting because he was so offended.
Yeah, well, I would have to say I agree. I don't think it was a racist remark. I think it was really poor homework on her part to not know that the man that she was speaking to was African-American. That's pretty lame.
Neil, I like this segment. Good job, kid.
Thank you.
I do. Neil, I got to tell you, you just saved your job.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daniel Baldwin Show.